Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's another Wednesday, which means we go, or Todd goes, witnessing here on Wretched Radio. That's why we affectionately call it Witness Wednesday. Hey, I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio, and Todd and team are on campus at Kennesaw State University this week looking for nice young students to chat with. So let's not waste a whole lot of time. Let's get down to business and send it out to the campus now with Todd and team at Kennesaw State University.
The subject, criminal justice. The guest, Creston, you're studying criminal justice.
I am.
In the evolution of criminal justice, as you understand it this far in your studies, which era do you think better describes where you stand with criminal justice?
I would say if I were to pick an era of criminal justice, I would put the 1990s. The 1990s was a great era of just, it's not what we see today in criminal justice, where the police are looked down on because of the actions of a lot of police officers all over the country. But it was a time where police officers weren't seen as a threat. They were seen as an authority figure. You can trust them. But that has changed over time to where a lot of people don't trust police officers anymore. And I'm not exactly going to the field of being a police officer. I want to be somewhere to make change in the criminal justice system.
You want to be a politician?
No.
Lawyer?
No.
So what exactly would you do to make a living?
I am taking my classes. I'm taking my courses. I'm searching the field on where I would be the most effective change. I haven't found anything yet. I'm a freshman, so I'm still searching.
All right, let's talk about jails. They have been labeled over the centuries different names. Do you know what those different descriptors have been of jails?
What have they been?
It used to be called the penal justice system, versus today, jails are seen as places for restoration. Which do you think is best?
I would think that the penal system was better.
Why?
Because in the old system, it was big time offenders. You know, it wasn't the small time offenders that are going to jail now for smaller crimes, and or, you know, people who need more help, because there's a lot of people nowadays that need more help with mental or psyche. But it was a whole different system than we have today.
But what informs you that jails should be more about punishment than restoration?
Because there's a lot of programs coming up now where, you know, before in the old systems, you'd be like, okay, you have this sentence. Now it's, we're going to put you on a program, or we're going to put you in something else and not jail. I was in class the other day, and we were talking about a case where this guy attempted to kill his wife. He thought he killed his wife. She survived. He got 15 years because he took a plea bargain. Now, that should not happen. If you commit something, it should be punishment.
But what I'm asking you, though, Creston, is what informs you that there should be punishment attached to the violation of a law?
Oh, what informs me that? Okay, thank you. Because it's what's right. If you break a law, you should be punished.
You made the statement, but what's your support for that? So I would sit here. I'm going to argue the other side. Okay. You break a law. Nope, you should be given 10 Kit Kat bars. Which of us is right?
I would say that I'm right.
Why?
Because it's the fabric of what is right in a society.
So the society supports your position?
Yes.
So what if the society evolves and says no more punishment?
Society will always change with time. We cannot foresee what society will do in the future. The death penalties are disappearing. Society is changing, and society can change. But at this point in time, throughout history, society has been law. You break it. It's like you break, you buy it.
Death penalty, for it or against it?
I am for the death penalty in certain situations.
I'm against it. I'm just going to argue the other side. Okay. All right. Tell me by what authority you stake your position that the death penalty is good.
Okay. If a human being shows with malice, predetermined planning, kills multiple people, they should not be allowed to take other people's lives and keep living, in my opinion.
All you've done there, though, Creston, is you just restated your premise, but you have not told me why you're right.
I don't think I can prove I'm right. I can only state the opinion what I believe in.
I am now going to switch sides with you. Okay. All right, we're going to flip this around. I'm going to take the death penalty side. Okay. And I will tell you why, as I sit here on this bench, I am for the death penalty.
Okay.
And I think you're going to agree with me because you have got something about you that has given me a signal of why you believe this. Are you ready?
Let's hear it. Right.
I believe that the death penalty can indeed be appropriate because human beings are better than animals and plants and rocks. We are made in the image of God, and life is so precious because we are image bearers of our Creator that if an individual takes the life of another image bearer, it is such a severe, evil thing to do as defined by God Himself that the only correct payment is his own life. Why do I say that? Because I believe that that is what the Bible teaches and that's what God says. That's why I'm for the death penalty. Your response?
I 100% agree with you.
So here's my question for you, Creston. You don't know me because complete stranger, but without God as your source of authority, justice is malleable. One day rape is bad, the next day it's good if society says so. One day it's penal, the next day it's restorative if society says so. You see, without a plumb line, a higher standard of authority, everything becomes preference. Nothing is right, nothing is wrong. It's all what you happen to prefer, or we as a collective has determined what is right, but it can't ultimately be right because there's no ultimate source of authority. Only God allows us the ability to say something is definitively for all time wrong.
Agreed.
So you're wearing a cross. Why?
I believe in God.
I sat down on the bench because I saw this on your chest here, and I said, that's a Christian symbol. I'm interested in Christianity. Creston, tell me, why should I become a Christian?
Well, personally speaking, I'm actually a Catholic, and I am not too involved in the church. I believe that if you have the belief in God, that is enough. I do it, pray on my own time. I do things on my own time. I believe it is important to believe in the higher power. I believe it's important to believe in God because it gives people something to believe in, gives hope. It gives life purpose.
I agree with that. The question, though, is who is God?
That's a hard question. God is everything around us.
So God is in everything.
God is every living being.
So I'm God?
Well, I'm not saying that you're God. I'm saying God is within all of us.
So you're a panentheist.
I actually don't know what that is.
That God is in everything.
Oh.
Okay. How did you arrive at that conclusion?
I don't know. It just makes sense, doesn't it? That God was the creation of the earth and we're all his children. So everything is part of him.
I would say that everything is made by him and reflects him. But that doesn't mean that this computer or that leaf has God in it.
I'm not saying that there's God in the thing. I'm just saying we're part of. We're made by him. Yes, we're a reflection of him.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You kind of have just kind of a, you know, God is a being, but not so much the Christian expression of God.
Yeah, I would say that you're not.
But you're wearing the Christian symbol. Yes. How come?
Because I it's not just a like Christian symbol for me. It's the sign of God. It's the sign of belief.
And what does that specifically symbolize?
The church. Yes, I was brought up Catholic, but I also, you know, believe in some Christian beliefs. So I'm kind of just a belief.
Would you let me put you on the stand for a minute, Mr. Criminal Justice Student?
Sure.
Let me tell you why I believe you're so into justice. Because God is just. We're his image bearers. And so we have a sense of justice because he's the one who knit us together. We communicate because God communicates. We love because God loves. We're in relationship because God is in a relationship with himself, and he actually desires a relationship with people. We work because God works. We have courts because there is a court system, a heavenly court system, and God is the just judge of all the earth. So your love for justice actually has its roots in the existence of God himself, because without God, there's no justice. There's just preferences. Nobody's evil. A rapist isn't bad. I just wouldn't do it myself. But only because God exists do we have an understanding of right and wrong, and that people should pay for their crimes. So that's why I think you dig justice, because God digs justice.
He does.
All right? So now let's see if we can make sense of that symbol for just a moment. All right? Use your imagination. You're a young man. Someday, though, you know this. You maybe don't appreciate it fully yet, but someday your number gets called. You die. God brings you into his courtroom. And he opens up the books on Creston. So now we got a question. What does he record in there? What does the just judge use as his laws to determine if somebody is just or unjust, guilty or innocent? Let's just use the Ten Commandments for a moment. Okay. All right. Creston, have you kept the Ten Commandments?
I would say to the best of my ability.
But it infers that you haven't always kept them. So, for instance, have you ever lied?
I have.
Stolen anything?
No.
Something on the computer, from your parents' pockets, anything, a pencil from somebody?
Okay, then yes.
Have you ever looked with lust?
Yes.
Have you ever dishonored your parents? Cannot pause for that question. Come on.
I had to think. All right. No, you shouldn't
have had to think. All I needed to do was call your parents, and they're going to tell me.
They're going to tell you everything.
Right. Okay. All right. So have you ever taken God's name in vain?
Yes.
Okay. So that's like five laws. Mm-hmm. God's got it recorded. Mm-hmm. But he goes even further. He doesn't just see what you do. He doesn't just hear what you say. He knows what you think. So Jesus said, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say, if you look with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. So if you've ever lusted, you've committed adultery. Looked at pornography, you've committed adultery. And all of those deeds that were done in darkness are recorded in God's book. It gets thrown open and God sees you, Creston, standing before him with all of the evidence because he was an eyewitness to your crimes. Would you be innocent or guilty?
All right, stop. You know the break was on the way. The most inconvenient time is when we have to do this. It's an unwritten rule. You take breaks at the most inconvenient times. Did we learn nothing from American Idol? Hang tight. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more from Todd and Criminal Justice Creston next on Wretched Radio.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's word now more than ever at FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
For 25 years, we've watched Christianity's place in America change dramatically.
This is Wretched Radio.
But one thing hasn't changed: our commitment to proclaiming God's truth without compromise. A quarter century of preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and strengthening the local church. 25 years of equipping pastors. 25 years of helping Christians navigate an ever-changing world with biblical wisdom. From our early days to our current home at Fortis Institute, we've had one mission: equipping believers to stand firm in their faith. Today, we're creating more content than ever before. Hundreds of hours of audio and video resources, daily biblical teaching and tools to help you thrive. Thank you for standing firm with us for a quarter century. Together, we've built something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Visit FortisInstitute.org and join us as we continue this vital work. 25 years of together, faithfully serving our King. And we're just getting started.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
important dates in Christian history. 988 AD. After examining several religions, Vladimir, Prince of Kiev, chooses Orthodox Christianity to unify and guide the Russian people. Even after a century of atheistic communist rule, Orthodoxy remains at the core of life in Eastern Europe to this day. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We are back on Wretched Radio. It's a Witness Wednesday, and Todd has been chatting with Creston, the criminal justice major at Kennesaw State University. And interestingly enough, when we took our break, Todd had Creston in the courtroom, God's courtroom, and we left with this question that Todd had asked young Creston. Would he be innocent or guilty in God's eyes? Let's find out how he responds.
Would you be innocent or guilty?
I'd say I'd be innocent.
Really? How?
Because God can judge me on that, but as long as I pray to him, as long as I repent my sins, I will still be innocent.
Okay, let's bring it down to an earthly court system for a minute. That would be like saying to the judge, Judge, hold on. I know I've done these crimes, but I've believed in you, and I've done good in other areas. I haven't always been a lawbreaker.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't have any bearing on your crimes.
In a human courtroom, so I guess I'd say I'd be guilty. Yeah.
And so would I. Mm-hmm. And frankly, so would everybody would be guilty. So if God is just, and if he is into penal justice, would you go to heaven or hell?
If he's into penal justice, I'd go to hell.
Now, tell me about that cross you're wearing. What does that have to do with our conversation?
Well, it has to do with God.
What exactly? That means more than just representing God. That means something very specific, and it's very penal. It's called penal substitutionary atonement, is the theological term. That cross symbolizes that you are a guilty criminal for whom Jesus died to pay the punishment, to pay the fine that you owe to God that you cannot pay yourself. That was an act of the most unjust thing was done to the Son of God, because God was pouring out his wrath on your behalf, that justice could be satisfied so that you, a guilty criminal, could have your court case dismissed because Jesus paid your fine. That symbol is way more than about God. That is about the God-man Jesus dying for you so that your court case can be dismissed. Okay? So, Creston, here's the question, though. If that symbol represents complete forgiveness of sins, right standing with God, court case dismissed, how does somebody receive that sentence dismissal? How do you get forgiven by God so that you don't have to go to hell? Do you know?
I would say that in order to really repent your sins, you've got to confess. Okay. You've got to confess your sins. You've got to know what you have done is wrong. But I understand that, yes, even if you know that you've done it wrong in a criminal courtroom, doesn't make you innocent, and you can still go to jail. So there, you, knowing that there's a chance, you might go to hell.
Yeah, because if I just agree with the judge, he's going to say, you should agree, because you are guilty, and you are going to be punished. But it doesn't dismiss my case. The Bible does talk about confession, but it uses a different word. The word is repent. It's actually a Greek word. If you ever studied languages, it's two words, conjunction, put together. Metanoia means to have a different mind, a change of mind, but it also encompasses a change of will and a change of emotions. In other words, the totality of your being needs to turn. You're a guilty criminal. Jesus died for you. You turn from your sins. The Bible says you repent of your sins. Oh yeah, you agree with God. Think of it like this. I say to you, hey, dude, it's a nice day here, but it's even nicer in Florida. Let's go. I'll drive. I know the way. So we jump into my car. We start driving, and hours go by, and it's like, man, when are we going to get there? And I tell you, it's going to be about 30 more hours. You're a little skeptical. And then you start looking at the trees, and instead of seeing palm trees, you're seeing pine trees. The temperature on the bank sign, it's not getting warmer. It's getting colder. Suddenly, the weather changes, and snow is flying, and you see a sign that says Canada, 80 miles. What do you want me to do? Think it through. But I told you we're going to Florida, and I took you the wrong direction. I wronged you. What do you want me to do? Confess that I was wrong? Here's the process. Yeah. You want to point out the signs, and you want me to agree with you. You're right. I was wrong. I'm doing the wrong thing. You want me to stop? I suspect you'd like an apology.
Yeah.
You'd like me to turn around And then you want me to start going in the right direction.
That's a long way in the other direction.
It is, but it's an analogy. It's an illustration. And you want me to keep going until we get to the place I promised to take you. That's repentance. That you understand that you've done God wrong. You've sinned against him. You've been going in the wrong direction. You stop. You apologize. You turn from your sins, not in perfection, but with a new desire to not sin. Mm-hmm. And you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, if you will do that, you will be saved. You will be forgiven. You will be adopted into God's family. It will be as if you took your rap sheet and it was pinned on Jesus. And he takes his resume of righteousness and he gives it to Creston so that you can be seen not just as forgiven, but as the righteousness of God. That is what that symbolizes right there. But listen to this carefully. Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. Got it? You got to be born again or you go to hell.
Yeah.
So here's my question. Creston, have you been born again? Do you know what it means?
Do I know what it means to be born again? I know you can be born again through baptism. And I would like to think through just really turning your life in the opposite direction.
Yeah, to be clear, an act does not get you saved. Baptism doesn't do a thing for you, but gets you wet.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
But like being baptized and then turning the corner.
Nope. Here's what it is. You put your wholehearted trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You admit to him you have been wrong about everything, and you knew you were doing wrong things, and you confess your sins to him as a guilty criminal, and you throw yourself at his feet for his mercy. You humble yourself like a child. You die to yourself, and he makes you born again. It's coming to God without excuse, without saying, well, I've done good things. Well, I didn't really know. I was going to deal with it later. I tried to make up for it. You come clean. And God says you humble yourself and he will make you alive in Christ and he'll forgive your sins. He'll grant you everlasting life. He'll bring you into his family. And when you die, your court case is dismissed because Jesus Christ paid your fine. Now, this is the big question in all of this, okay. Right? And you're of the age where your worldview might kick against this a little bit. Is what I just told you true? Objectively true.
I would think so. Yes, it is true.
So it's objectively true. Then as you sit here today, if you have not been born again, you're outside of God's family. You're still at war with God, going your own way. So Jesus commands you today, repent, put your trust in him, forsake any other notions of God, any other path, any other system, any work righteousness, and you will be saved. That is what that symbolizes. So, Creston, if you're not born again, you're outside of God's family, and his wrath abides upon you. And the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And you should want this offer, not just because it's fire insurance and it's going to get you out of hell. It's going to do that, but it misses the point. Jesus, God himself in flesh, just like you and me, real flesh and bones, died for you. And he knew that he was going to die for you, even though he knew that you were going to dishonor your parents, look at pornography, maybe have sex outside of marriage, lie, cheat, steal. Nevertheless, he came to this earth to take the punishment you deserve. That's why you should run to him, because you can be in a right relationship with the human being who is the God-man Jesus Christ, who loves you more than anybody else on this planet. This isn't just about fire insurance. This is about knowing God and having all of life colored. Right now, when you're outside of God's family, it's all black and white. It's just, you're going through the motions to get a degree so you can get a job, so you can get money. Maybe you find a wife and you get kids, but there's no purpose to it. This brings purpose and meaning to everything. Suddenly life has transcendent value, and you're doing these things because you're living in gratitude to the God who died to save you. So, Creston, you're into criminal justice.
I am.
So is God. And my guess, my friend, would be right now you're a criminal.
Yes.
And now, right now, you know how to have your court case dismissed.
I do.
So I don't know everything, but I can't imagine anything more important for you to consider today than what we just talked about.
I couldn't either.
All right. So I'll walk away, and the ball is in your court, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, dude.
Well, the ball is definitely in Creston's court. Let's all be in prayer for that young man. I did find it interesting, though. Number one, he did know he has much to think about, but also the fact that he is a Catholic who doesn't call himself or consider himself to be a Christian. You don't actually see that much today. Roman Catholics tend to label themselves as Christian, though there are major fundamental differences in what they believe. But Creston here saw his wretchedness and also the goodness of Jesus Christ. So let's all be praying for him and hang tight, hang with us. We have more Witness Wednesday on the way. This is Wretched Radio.